Zealand of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Patitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Patitsis of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. As you know, we are just 2 weeks away from Christmas, and less than 2 weeks, actually. And we want to take this time today to focus a little bit on the Feast of Christmas, the Nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Paul's having a chit chat.
Yes, forgive me. I'm on the air and I didn't even know it. So glad to be on the air. We're talking.
I was just going to ask you, Father Paul, what language do you think that is? And you're singing.
I'm assuming she's singing Latin, but I didn't listen carefully enough.
You know, I think she's singing Latin with a Celtic accent.
At first, I thought it was Greek. Maybe that's what that's what Celtic is. Maybe it's Latin with a Greek accent. Anyway, we are happy to have in the studio with us today. First of all, our very important Presbytera Katerina.
Hello.
And visiting with us, Christine.
Hello.
Deborah. What is your last name,
Vora.
Christine?
Vora.
Vora, sorry.
McManus.
Good Irish name, or is it Scottish?
Scottish.
Scottish name. And then we have also Christopher.
Hello. Greetings.
Good to have you, Christopher. Christopher Barry. Are you a Scottish or Irish or anything?
Well, I was going to make a comment about the Celtics there. It's a god of Margaret, you know, and that's thank you in Celtic.
Wow. I can't speak any Celtic, so that's good.
Yeah, I don't think it's connected to Latin or Greek, unfortunately, because I do love those.
I think it's connected to Viking.
There we are.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Next time I wear my hat with horns on it, I'll remember. Anyway, we're very happy to be together in this beautiful studio and getting ready for Christmas. And we have so many things I want to talk to about, but I thought we should start with, Christopher, if you don't mind reading to us the passage of Christ's birth, which is in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and following, which is such a lovely... Do you have that there?
I do. Thank you, Father Paul.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Now, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," meaning God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus.
Beautiful, beautiful. It's an important story. It's the foundational story of Christianity, and it tells us something very important, that a virgin gave birth to a child. And I think we have a few Christmas carols about that, but one of them that we have in our church is the Quintacion of Christmas. And let me see if I can sing that for you. So a Quintacion is a hymn that is small. It's not very long, actually. And it's written to summarize the feast. So here is the Quintacion for Christmas. "Today the Virgin gives birth to him who is above all being, and the earth offers a cave to him whom no man can approach. Angels with shepherds give glory, and magi journey with a star. For unto us is born a young child, a newborn babe, the preternal God." Now, if you're familiar with that, if you mind, Presidente, just to turn on the microphones here, we can have a little dialogue.
We've got it. Got
so,
them on.
So, Presidente, you know that song very well. You also know the other one that's the preparation for...
The preparation for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us some thoughts about that, because...
You know, the melodies are exactly the same, and we have this pre-Christmas feeling of welcoming in the other hymn. We have a pre-Christmas anticipation of welcoming God, who appears as a newborn babe. And in the second one, I should have it in front of me.
Yeah.
But the second one has, because I remember singing it when I was very young, and it's just a very interesting hymn, because it juxtaposes these glorious angels are mixing with these lowly shepherds. You've got God, who was above all being, now inside of a cave. And so this is supposed to speak to us somehow. And maybe we can talk about that. How does that speak to us? Because you've got the pre-eternal God as a baby. Don't even call these paradoxes even. I mean, these are more like chiasms. The magi are journeying with a star, and they, in a sense, are opposite the angels, but also the shepherds are opposite the angels. We're seeing a lot of opposites here. Virgin giving birth, the one who's above all in a cave.
Well, you know, you mentioned the magi and the star, and that's a type of opposite, too, because we think of the magi, of course, as the stars of the human race. You know, there's the smartest guys in the room.
Right.
But they're not anything compared to a star. You know, but
well, they're following it.
Yeah, in other words, they're not stars when you compare them to a real star. Then you see that they're just followers. They're just little people, really.
Not like Hollywood kinds of stars.
Yeah,
not like that.
Well, I mean, in their day and age, they were revered. They probably weren't celebrities unless, you know, a couple of them had a really strong ego and they would, you know, say, come over to my place and I'll tell you what your future is. We'll look at the sky. But I would think that the rest of them would, like, not like that. Yeah. So they'd kick them out. But whatever it is, I would just think that they weren't exactly celebrities, but they were kind of like more like the college professors of their day.
Yes, yes. Christina, what are your thoughts about a Christ's birth? What jumps to your mind when you think of Christ's birth? It's this glorious God becoming a tiny baby.
I think how blessed we are.
Tell us more.
Well, I don't know how to put it in words. It just makes me smile from the heart.
There you did. You put it in the best words possible. Christopher, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, goodness, I've been reflecting on this because there are lots of different religions around, a lot of people asking questions about spirituality and meaning in life these days. I think there's a sense of magic in the air around Christmas and maybe an openness. People are willing to maybe share with others some of their questions and reflections on at least the year that's gone behind them, but also what lies ahead. And the thought of the creator of the universe, the one bigger by definition than all the stars, entering the world that he's made, and not just in some mighty form, you know, you might think of some kind of titan or something more befitting to to a powerful being.
Yes, yes.
An uncreated one, but he becomes human like us. Yeah. He's amazing.
It is. The glories of Christmas.
Yeah.
Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him." Herod was deeply disturbed by their question, as was all of Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law. "Where did the prophets say the Messiah would be born?" he asked them. "In Bethlehem," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote: O Bethlehem of Judah, you are not just a lowly village in Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." And then Herod sent a private message to the wise men asking them to come see him at his meeting. He learned the exact time when they first saw the star. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too."
Well, you have to go a little farther because he doesn't actually go and worship him.
Well, yeah, we know that. So after this interview, The wise men went their way once again. The star appeared to them. So it seems this star is fading in and out. Once again, the star appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when it was time to leave, they went home another way, because God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod.
Well, let's, I mean, there's so many things I want to say, and we're running out of time, as usual. But what we have here is the beautiful nativity account of Christ's birth. And we see that these people who were so influential felt what Christina said earlier. She felt something in their heart that said, we have to follow this. We don't know where it's going to lead, but we have to follow it. And then we have the impression that they had the impression that they were coming to see the birth of a king. So they brought with them gifts that they thought were befitting of a king.
I'm imagining the argument that ensued as they were approaching a cave, and they're saying to each other, look, the king doesn't know there's a king being born. Nobody else is telling us anything. Why are we going to this cave? We're going to leave the gold in the wrong place.
You know, that could have happened, but I never had that impression that they had any doubt, because when they finally do get to the infant who's in the cave, they don't say, well, look, we're at the wrong address. Let's take our gifts and go home. They say, no, this is it. This is, we don't understand it, perhaps. And then there's something else that's very, very profound. Besides the gift of gold, of course, which is fit for a king, then there's the gift of incense, which is fit for a
king.
No.
Is the incense to do with either with burial or with worship?
Worship.
Worship in the temple.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a sign of priesthood. Hmm. But then there's the myrrh. What's the myrrh the symbol of?
That's the funeral one, isn't it?
Yes, that's the death. So what strange gifts, really. They call him both a king and a priest and a sacrifice. He's the king, he's the priest, he's also the sacrificial victim, he's the lamb. And they didn't know when they left, perhaps, what they were coming upon, but they understood it. The other thing that, Christopher, you said earlier about how people have, it's almost a magical time this time of year. I think people have a built-in sense that the world has to get better. You know, it can't always be suffering and pain. It just doesn't seem to fit the human condition. We want life to get better. We want it to improve. And so when there's someone who talks to us about hope, how can we not be hopeful?
Mm. Thank you.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin.
Up some new music this time. I'm so glad, because we've had the same Christmas music. Well, we have a good selection of Christmas music, but we have
same. That's, I think, your favorite time of year, Presidenta. Is that okay? Is that fair to say?
No, it's not fair. I'm an Easter girl.
Have to have our microphones on. Anyway, I'm going to share with you now some of the patriarchal message of Patriarch Bartholomew. Now, I didn't have the patriarchal message for this year, 2019, but I think when you hear this one from 2013, I'm not going to read the whole thing. You're going to see that it's equally relevant. Many centuries ago, the prophet foresaw and announced with enthusiasm and joy the birth of the child Jesus from the ever-Virgin Mary. Naturally, even then, there was no period of census of Augustus Caesar, no place to stay for the safety of the Holy Virgin, who was carrying a child by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Joseph, as her betrothed and protector, was obliged to lead her to a cave, a manger with animals, in order to give birth to a child. Heaven and earth received them, offering thanks to their Creator. The angel offered the hymns, the heavens, a star, the wise men, gifts, the shepherds, a miracle, the earth, a cave, the desert, a manger, and we, the Mother Virgin. The shepherds were keeping watch over their flock, protecting them throughout the night, while the angels were witnessing the mystery in ecstasy, singing hymns to God. The sweetness of the night of Christmas once again embraces the world, and in the midst of human trial and pain, of unending crisis, of passions and enmity, of concern and despair, it presents the mystery of the incarnation of the divine word as a genuine and timely solution. For he descended as dew in a field of cotton inside the womb of the ever-Virgin Mary in order to give rise to the righteousness, to righteousness and much peace. In silence and peace that of that sacred night of Christmas, Jesus Christ, being without beginning, invisible, incomprehensible, immaterial, and ever-existing and the same, enters the drama of the history bearing flesh. Very good.
Today I saw a nice little image, although it wasn't nighttime, but I saw somebody sleeping under the stars not too long ago. And this morning, Christina was under our trees looking like a little sheep or like a shepherd. Christina, are you identifying with the shepherds this year?
Yes.
Yeah, really?
Nice.
Say it. Yeah, yeah. So, nice to... You know, tell us about that. Tell us about sitting under the trees, sitting under the stars. You know, when we ask Christina when she's not on the microphone, she comes up with the answers really quick. Yeah. That's all right. If she thinks of something, she'll bring it up. Father Paul, I'm handing it over to you.
Well, we're blessed to be with you once again, and we wish you and your family great Christmas celebration. Oh, it seems I have a few more moments, then I don't have to go so quick.
We can discuss the
stars.
Well,
I do want to tell you about the stars. I think the stars are so beautiful, and from the time I began to study them as a young person and to realize the science behind some of the things that we see, and just to realize the vastness of all that God created. They say that the universe is 13 billion light years across. I don't even know what that word means, 13 billion light years. I mean, I can say it, and I have some sense of the math of it. But to comprehend it as a reality, there's nothing in my reality that connects me to that kind of a distance, you know. The Earth isn't even one light year across. So how many light years, 13 billion light years. It's a number that's beyond the human comprehension. And yet, still, there's a beginning to it and there's an end to it.
Mm.
It's not infinite. Although it seems to us infinite from this vantage point, it's not infinite. And some infinite being created it. And so, although it's as vast as we can humanly imagine, it has a beginning and an end. And so it witnesses, even by its existence, to the Creator. So that's what I want to say.
Okay. Oh, you're talking about the stars.
Yes.
Okay, because, you know, I'm thinking about twinkling little things up in the sky, you know, the ceiling of the planet, you know. And you've taken us far beyond. But I appreciate that, Father Paul.
Yeah, I think there's a beautiful connection between the stars and what they mean to us and shepherds. Because throughout the Old Testament especially, and I think of the psalmists, men and women who lived on the land, who looked after the earth, and who had time as they worked to really be present to creation. And they were the ones who looked up at the stars at night. And while they were working, in fact, they were even then working and looking after the sheep and so on. Of course, most predators will come out at night, so it's not necessarily right. Restful in the way that we might imagine, but they right. Took in that place an opportunity to look at the stars and to write songs about them.
And they could tell time by the stars. Like, we watch the hands of our watches turning, and we say, oh, the time is turning. They would watch the stars rotating through the heavens like we watch a face of a clock, and they say, oh, it's getting earlier, it's getting late, whatever. They could tell. I mean, we're so distant from that, we can't even understand what that means anymore, but actually stare at the stars and know, well, oh, they're at this position, that means it's this time, you know. Or never mind, you know, navigating by them. Well, one last thing I wanted to share with you, and this is from St. Augustine. And he wrote a sermon which was about the Incarnation, but it's not specifically about Christmas, but it's about the Incarnation, which is, of course, about Christmas. It says, to understand the mystery of God, how Christ is both God and man, the heart must be purified. It is purified by our manner of living, by a Christian life, by chastity, holiness, love, and by a faith that works by charity. This that I here speak of may be likened to a tree that has its root in the heart. For things we do proceed solely from the root of the heart. Where if you plant greed, thorns spring up. If you plant charity, good fruit comes forth. Immediately after this question proposed to those Jews who were listening, which they could not answer, the Lord goes on to speak of a worldly manner of life in order to show why those men were unworthy and unable to understand what he had asked them. So we have to, all of us, if we want to understand the Incarnation, we have to find a way to purify our heart. We're coming close now to the end of our program, and we thank you for being listeners, faithful listeners, coming to the end of 2019, hard to believe. And we ask God's blessing on you and your family. This is a ministry of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, whose our shepherd is His Eminence Archbishop Miron, who's located in Wellington. Thank you for listening to our program, and thank you for your support over the past years.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around, and glory shone. Said he, for mighty dread, and sees their trouble.